Before we get into today's Final Fantasy VIII podcast, a quick thanks to our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps. Those are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Final Fantasy VIII is over, but we're just getting started wrapping it up here on the Final Fantasy podcast on Post Show Recaps. I'm Josh Wigler, back after a quick little hiatus with the great Brooklyn Zed. Zed, one last time on Final Fantasy VIII, I promise. This is it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do any more after this.
We were going to skip the podcast last week for different scheduling reasons, and I was like, No, let's do it. Let's finish FF8. I'm ready to move on. But, you know, the fates decided how it had to be, and now we are here to have our last conversation about FF8.
Oh, you have no idea what the fates have decided here as we are wrapping up Final Fantasy VIII. We're also going to use this as an opportunity to look ahead towards what the podcast is doing. Some other Final Fantasy shenanigans to discuss here in the post-show recaps world. We will get into all of that. But first, for the first time, I believe, Zed, we are joined here on this Final Fantasy adventure by a guest, I believe, making his post-show recaps debut outside of the patron feed, at the very least. His dulcet tones can be heard in a patron podcast called Dungeons & Dragons in Discord, The Musical, a favorite in our Dungeons & Dragons community, and the person who I have shaded numerous times on this podcast as one of the great Final Fantasy VIII defenders and specifically a huge fan of the S-Star theme music. We wanted to get a different point of view here as we closed out FF8 for everybody who really loves the game and is really sad that Zed and I did not seem to have quite as much fun. So let's bring him in. Like Cher, it is just the one name, Aiden. Oh, that's your last name, Aiden Fushiru. Aiden Fushiru.
See, what you don't realize, I've been here the entire time. I've just been in a pod in the basement, and nobody mentions it at
Is that
all.
A secret podcast in the basement,
exactly.
By Aiden.
I'm just here to show up and dump some exposition, and then never be heard from again.
Aiden, it's a pleasure, a favorite in the patron community here on Post Show Recaps. Aiden, give the people some background on who you are and what you're doing here.
Yeah, my name's Aiden. I have been banging the drum in both the D&D game and in defense of Final Fantasy VIII for quite a long time. I have strong feelings about Final Fantasy VIII. I truly love the game. So over the last couple of weeks, it was testing to hear it being summarily ripped apart week by week by week. Understandably, I get it, but you know, I might have a few rebuttals.
Yeah, I would love. This is why we want you here. We want somebody to explain to us what did we miss? What didn't we get? you know, I've said on multiple occasions on this podcast that I often say Lost meets you where you are. I think Final Fantasy VIII meets you where you are, and sometimes doesn't meet me in a good place. that I don't love where I am when I see my old friends Squall and Zell dinked. And that was perhaps the case this time around. Zed, is it going to be hard to reaccess Final Fantasy VIII for you? You've been very busy.
It's not high on my list of things to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things going on. Now that there's a PS4 in my life for our upcoming FF7 playthrough.
Yes.
And that opens a whole new world of games. While I replayed FF7 over the course of 2 weeks, I don't think that experience is going to be happening with FF8 for me. Mostly because of that mechanical spider in the very beginning of the game.
It's tough.
Never again.
You only have to fight it once. If you know what you do, you fight it once and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, well,
I'm on this podcast because I don't know what I'm doing.
And I'm on this pod because I really do know what I'm doing.
Yes, yes. And I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I like to pretend that I do. Why don't we tell you all what we are doing here? So we're going to talk about FF8. But in addition, I just want to state up front what it is that's happening next, because there may be some people who have missed the memo. We are going from Final Fantasy VII to Final Fantasy VIII back to Midgar. We are going to be doing Final Fantasy VII Remake as the focus of the podcast for the next little while. As Zed has mentioned, they have recently come into possession of a PlayStation 4. It may or may not be my old PlayStation 4
from your house
that Zed is currently in possession of. It has been passed down to a happy home as I've come into possession of a PlayStation 5. Really exciting stuff. And as a result, there is FF7 Remake. It came out a year ago. There is a new edition of Final Fantasy VII Remake coming out for specifically PS5 called Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which is the entirety of FF7 Remake plus an additional chapter that contains bonus characters that were not featured in FF7 Remake. So I've got some bonus content to play through, and I also haven't replayed the game in a very long time. So I'm really hyped, and we'll definitely talk about it later in the podcast, but I just want to state it right up front for people who are like getting their programming in a row. That adventure is starting next week. The game comes out, I believe it's June 11th is when Intergrade hits. Either way, it's next week. It's coming really, really, really soon. The exact date, TBD, or if not TBD, I just maybe don't know it completely specifically off the top of my head. But we've got plenty of Final Fantasy shenanigans going on with FF7 Remake moving forward. Aiden, did you play FF7 Remake?
No, I am a hardcore PC gamer, so
I don't have it for PC.
I know, I haven't had a console since the Xbox 360 way back when, so it kind of passed me by a little bit. But I believe it's been about a year. That kind of marks the anniversary of Pusho Recap's talking about Final Fantasy.
That's right, yeah. Yes. We started doing Final Fantasy coverage with the great Ken Hong. We did that. We did like a four-part FF7 Remake podcast. Kenny and I launched the Final Fantasy Discord server, which is still an incredible place that I love to go to and talk about RPG stuff. Everybody there is absolutely incredible. So it'll be fun to go back into that world and see if I can't relearn the game. I played it to 100% completion. It's the first game I've ever completed 100%. I got like the 100% trophy. And I was very proud of myself and my otherwise empty existence in that moment in time.
Yeah, hang your hat on what you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like now I'm like, all right, well, how am I going to do any of that? Especially because this is the other shoe to drop. And this may be incentive if you've been on the fence about, do I want to be a patron of Pusho Recaps? I don't know. Like, they're cool, but like, I think like there's other things in the world that I want to spend my money on. First of all, totally get it and totally cool. But I just want to lay this out there in case this is enticing to you. The patrons of Pusho Recaps in the Discord at the $10 a month level are currently playing Final Fantasy 14. It's the online Final Fantasy, the MMO, Final Fantasy 14. We're in Eorzea. We're in Ulda. We're in New Grandia, Granadia. I don't know. The names are really hard for me to understand. Limsa, Limonsa. We're riding around on chocobos having dance parties as we're traveling
from
Aetherite to Aetherite. I've got a big fat chocobo head and I'm running around the world dancing for strangers. It's absolutely incredible. Final Fantasy 14 shenanigans are happening. We have tons of patrons who are playing. Play at your own pace. Don't be daunted. You level up quick. You can play however you want. I was very daunted at first. I kept looking around. I kept Googling, like, is it too late to get into Final Fantasy 14? And, like, all the answers, like, no, this game is thriving. Get in now. Like, there's no reason not to start playing. And I have found that to be absolutely true. The meme that I have leaned on has been, last week, me, Final Fantasy 14 is not a real Final Fantasy. This week, me, Final Fantasy 14 is the best Final Fantasy. I don't actually believe that, but I am having an incredible time. I would love for you out there to come and play with us. We have a free company that's recruiting members. If you would like to join, you got to be a patron of Post Show Recaps. You can come and play with us. We've got a voice chat active. A lot of people who are playing right now. A really fun community that's building around this game. Consider signing up patreon.com/postshowrecaps at that $10 a month level for the Discord. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Yes, it's the start of the month.
Perfect time to join.
Start of the
best
month.
Best part about Final Fantasy 14 is you can play it on anything. You got a Mac, you got a console, you got a PC. It doesn't matter. Hop in and play with us.
You can play on anything. I'm playing on my PlayStation, which initially was really daunting because, like, the typing and, like, the mousing around was
so hard to do.
I have since moved my PlayStation, like, right up to my computer setup. So I have my keyboard plugged in when I need it in case I like need to like type to strangers and be like, hi, I'm running this dungeon for the first time. What do I do? Yeah. I got yelled at by strangers. It was great. And then like a stranger yelled at the stranger who yelled at me. And that person was like, be kind.
That's a good stranger. I like that stranger.
I have found the community of Final Fantasy 14 to be a delight. There's been like one mean person and then one really strange person. Shout out to Dr. Jones. We ran a dungeon with this guy who ran around in a lab coat as our healer. And like we were getting beaten up by a bunch of enemies. And he literally sat down in the middle of the fight. And then at one point we had to like go to an elevator. And at one point we were fighting all of these monsters and he typed into the chat, just get into the lift, please, which was absolutely incredible. Many stories like this. I think that you'll probably hear some Final Fantasy 14 post-show recaps lore in the weeks ahead. I don't even know where to begin with, like, recapping that game. I don't expect that's ever going to happen because it's like a mouthful, all of the words,
the
jargon.
It's such an individual experience too, right? Yes. Like we're all playing together and we can all run around together and have dance parties and run dungeons and do those sorts of things. But also you can be running around on your own for hours, just like doing your own thing.
Well, the solo play is really great. I mean,
it is.
So much of the story hinges on you doing solo play. Mm-hmm. So like the vast majority of the experiences as far as like engaging the story has been individual for me. And then like when it gets to like dungeons or boss fights, like that has been like the time to like call upon friends and be like, hey, is anyone around to run this thing? And then the other reason to call upon friends has been like, y'all want to do a dance party? And like, we all just like circled up in New Gridania and, like 7 to 8 strangers showed up and just started dancing with us. And we kept being like, yo, Grim, good moves. And then like Grim would respond by like his emote would like raise like a huge like jug of beer and start drinking. Two people started like raving glow sticks at each other.
And the small people sat in the middle, right?
Yes. The tiny like lollifuls or whatever they're called just were swaying back and forth. It was beautiful. We laughed so hard. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time. Does that sound joyful to you?
It sounds incredibly wholesome.
It's very...
It's so good.
There's monsters destroying over there, but no, we got to dance.
It's very wholesome.
You went on a vacation, right?
We went on a vacation. We went to a beach town. We started swimming around in the water. We took photos. We did cannonballs off a dock. And then there was like a gigantic scorpion and some smaller scorpions fighting on the beach. I'm like, should we fight? Should we? And we started fighting it. And officially, the log line is like, we totally won the fight. But unofficially, we ran away from the fight. We were like, no, not now. We want to eat sushi.
We're relaxing.
Scorpions ruining our beach party.
Yeah. So, Final Fantasy 14 is amazing. And I'm a total convert immediately after like a week of playing. There's a good deal going on with it right now that's almost over. You can play, I think, up to level 60 or 60 hours. I'm not sure what it is. Certainly not 60 hours, because I'm pretty close, especially with all the AFK stuff. that you can get it for, I think, 60% off right now, I think is the deal. It's a really good deal. So look into it. But you can also play a lot of it for free, before you start getting into the expansions. And I've been having so much fun, and I've been, informed, widely that, it's widely agreed upon that the beginning of the game is the weakest story wise. And so if that's the case, then I'm very impressed. You all know how much I love Final Fantasy. I'm very heavily endorsing FF14. We're having a really good time. If you've ever wanted to play Final Fantasy with me or any of the other patrons of Post Show Recaps, perfect time to do it. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. No time will be too late to do this. That's the spiel. Let's talk about FF8 before we talk about FF7. Aiden, we're sorry.
Are you though? I don't think you are.
I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not. You.
I know Zed is in no way sorry.
I feel bad. I know, like, there's people who love the game, and they're probably like, yeah. Like, Kate is like, this is Zed's favorite Final Fantasy 8, right? Right, Zed? And I'm like, Kate.
I haven't listened to the podcast, so I'm going to go with yes.
You know, it's, it must be tough to love Final Fantasy 8 so fiercely, Aiden.
It is. Has this been a life-long issue? Not yet, because I think anybody who really loves Final Fantasy VIII is aware of its reputation. Yeah. And I don't want to be like Sisyphus pushing a boulder up the hill trying to convince people to love it. If they don't like it, that's fine. But I'm here to explain to other people why the people who love it, love it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
For me, I think the most important thing with any Final Fantasy, and I think Mike in the Discord will agree about this because we've had this discussion, the biggest factor of how much you love a particular game is, or particularly a Final Fantasy game, is which one was your first.
Yes.
And FF8 was my first. I dallied a little bit in Final Fantasy VII, but that's only because I got a lend of it off a friend. The first physical copy of a Final Fantasy game I held was FF8.
How did that happen?
A lot of pleading and begging to people who had money when I was a poor little teenager who had none. And it adds to it as well that this is back in the halcyon days of 2000, 2001. So I was a young teenager. So if you get bought a game, that's the game you have. And you're not getting another one. So you might as well play that game because that's what you have. So the endless hours I spent in front of a tiny little CRTV in my little PlayStation 1 playing Final Fantasy VIII. I'd love to know. I can't even remember how much I loved it or didn't love it or my feelings about it at the start when I first started playing it, because I'm sure I went through all the same things. It was like, junctioning? What on earth is this? What am I drawing? Oh,
right.
Big fiery demons. That's fun. That guy's got a facial tattoo. Spiky hair. He's my favorite. You know, all the stuff you think of as a teenager.
Big Zell fan.
Oh, Zell. Well, that's the one thing I completely agreed on. He's the best character in the game.
That was our best take, right? That Zell is secretly the best character in the game.
Yeah.
The joy that brought me, like, he's enthusiastic, he's good-natured, he's a loudmouth, but come on, he's an excited kind of guy. He always
picks hot dogs, which is always an in for me. always vote hot dogs.
The way to your heart.
Yeah.
He also has one of the most convoluted mini-games in the entire game, the whole a girl from the library quest that you can do with him.
What is that?
You have to visit the library a certain amount of times to get a bunch of different dialogue, and eventually it culminates in a scene in the Balam Town Hotel, where depending on what you did, the girl from the library and Zell have this big conversation with each other.
Yeah.
But if you missed a couple of trips to the library, bits of it are blanked out. It's kind of like the Albed system in Final Fantasy, the language in Final Fantasy X, that you only see some of it. Yeah, it's a bizarre little feature, but it's one of those tiny little things that isn't expressly shoved in your face in the world of Final Fantasy.
Wait, is he falling in love with the girl from the library?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, not to spoil
things too much. Why have I never heard of this before? Are you both punching me?
She's in the last cinematic. She's slapping him on the back, trying to make him not choke on hot dogs.
That's who that is.
Yeah, that's the girl from the library.
This is my problem with Final Fantasy VIII. This is it. There's so much happening, and you have no idea.
You gotta go looking for it. It's not handed to you.
The presentation is so tough, man. Like, the presentation, Zed. Like, how much did we miss? I feel like we missed everything.
Definitely a lot, because I was peeking at walkthroughs as I was going, and it was like, you can go do these six things if you also already did this other thing. It's like, well, I definitely didn't do that thing, so I guess I've made my choices.
Like Zed, I'd love to know, when you were just walking around and you hit a random battle in the overworld, did a spaceship randomly fly by
at one point?
Yeah, of course. And you just go, well, I'm just going to ignore that.
I do not recall a random spaceship happening to me.
I do think it'd be fun to like talk about some of the side quests, because Zed, like, you did none.
Basically zero, yeah.
And so, like, there's certainly like the side quests that I know about, but Aiden, I'm sure that there's like a bunch that even I have missed, clearly, with like the girl in the library stuff.
Would you go talk to Mr. Monkey in the lake?
I know that that's a thing. I do know that that's space. A thing, but I have not talked to Mr. Monkey in the lake.
Lake O'Bill near Timber.
Yeah,
there's an alien where the garden crashed. You can go catching chocobos. What is the name? It's a whole thing.
What is the name of the UFO that's flying around all over the world?
The UFO doesn't have a name, but the creature inside of it is called Poopoo.
Yeah, Poopoo. That's right. Yeah.
And the only reason he exists is to feed him a couple of elixirs and get a card.
Yeah, you get a card for Triple Triad from Poopoo.
Yeah, well, that explains why I never went and found the alien monkey, because I eschewed that game entirely.
You poo-pooed Triple Triad. So
yes,
yeah.
Big poo-poo on Triple Triad for me.
Big poo-poo. So Poopoo is out there. There's the Chocobo Forest that I never did.
Well, you kind of need to have a pocket station for that. I think that Square was experimenting with the Pocket Station, which was this tiny little portable gaming thing, and the Chocobos are very much associated with that, which hasn't really carried over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran into the, like, advanced Chocobo Forest a couple of times, because it's over near where you can catch the Cactar Island Wi-Fi.
Oh, with the random young boy living in a forest. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you got to get out of here. You're not ready to be here. And I'm like, nope, God. I didn't want to be here, because
so
I thought I was just going to run through this forest on the overworld. And then it went into a place. And they were like, go do other Chocobo stuff. And I was like, no, thank you.
There's just so much undiscovered country to Final Fantasy VIII, I think, unless you really know where to look. And so, Aiden, you just ruthlessly beat this game, like, just completely on your own? Or were you 100%. Like, extremely online with it? Like, how did you just give us, like, a little bit of, like, the experience of, like, it's early 2000s, you're a teenager, your FF8 is your game, that's the game you've got. What is, like, that experience like, you know, starting to, like, fall in love with the game? Is it story first? Is it gameplay? Like, how did this really happen?
I think it was characters. I really loved Squall, because once again, this was early 2000s and I was a teenage boy. So the whole cool emo, whatever, cool man, that was appealing to me at the time. I thought he was very cool. And on the flip side of that, you had Zell, who was this energetic guy. I thought they contrasted each other very, very nicely. But it was cards. Cards was the first thing that really got me hooked. I love, and still to this day, love Triple Triad. And even the people who really, really don't like Final Fantasy VIII, a lot of them will admit that, the card game's pretty good.
I should say that I mentioned several podcasts ago that I was starting to really get into Triple Triad for like the first time in a really long time, if maybe ever. And then I screwed up, because like your rules can like bleed into the rest, and then like it's just all a disaster after
that. You spread the random rule, didn't you?
I spread the random rule, and it was a disaster. Final Fantasy XIV has Triple Triad, and I think it's got like an improved Triple Triad. You don't lose cards, it seems like, so nothing is a risk in that regard. The music is basically the same, except like gussied up and modernized a little bit. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So if you're like an FF8 stan, and you are especially a Triple Triad stan, Final Fantasy XIV has a gold saucer with Triple Triad's name all over it.
But playing FF8 and playing the card game is very symbiotic in a good way, because I know every inch of this game and I kind of know how to metagame it. If you enjoy playing cards and you are au fait with the junction system and the refining system, I mean, battles are a doddle, really.
Yeah.
once you start refining cards, and some of the magic, like I keep saying this to people who say, I don't want to hang around and draw magic from monsters. Well, you don't have to.
So what do you do? Many because we cheated.
I refined items that I got, and refined cards into items and refined them into magic. So anytime I came across,
I don't really know what that means.
Anytime I came across an Abyss Worm card, I was really happy. I was like, I'll take that because that's 20 tornadoes. If I get five Abyss Worm cards, I have 100 tornadoes and I knock out everything with one punch.
So you're saying play cards, win a card game, become a master of a card game, turn your cards into effectively weapons, let's just shorthand it, into magic, and then use that to play the game. So like already, Zed, you've got the junction system where you have to like stay out on a field and draw magic from everybody, or you have to dominate a card game in order to be good at Final Fantasy VIII.
Choose your busy work.
How are you feeling about those choices?
I mean, well, clearly I chose the draw magic option, but specifically because with the rails up, it's very easy to do that.
Would you have done it?
I mean, I kept seeing stuff in the walkthrough about, like, make sure you have your guardian force learn this ability so that they can refine these things into these things. And I was like, it just sort of washed over me as a foreign language. Because there's also all the little, like, shortened abbreviations of what all the words mean. You know, it's like ref J, madge, X, you know, super
stats, junction, attack.
And it's like you get three letters from each of the words and you have to guess what they all mean. And I was like, I don't know. I don't speak this language. I tried. I can't do it.
But it's all there in the tutorial. You can just go look at it.
There's so many tutorials.
I know.
Teach me the game by having me play the game. Don't make me watch tutorials in your game. I don't want to.
It was one of the first Final Fantasies that gave you that incredibly deep appendices of information. Like, if you play games like 13 now, that's where all the lore and everything is.
Yeah.
Whereas it was only starting in Final Fantasy VIII. You have to realize that Final Fantasy VIII was coming off the heels of Final Fantasy VII, the greatest game of all time to an awful lot of people. And I really admire its bravery of changing up so much.
Sure, I agree.
They changed up so, so much.
Especially because they're like, developing this like basically concurrently, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It came out so quickly afterwards and it was hyped up enormously. I think it came out, you could get a demo, you could do the Dalet mission
in Brave Fencer Musashi.
Great Fencer Musashi, yeah, yes, I remember that. We didn't get that here in Ireland where I'm based. We had to buy a magazine to get it.
But yeah.
We played it and it was just amazing because graphically at the time it was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
The one thing that Final Fantasy always did without fail was have unbelievably good music and look incredibly pretty. Yeah. And Final Fantasy VIII knocked it out of the park both times in both of those regards, I think.
The music in Final Fantasy VIII is spectacular.
Even Esther.
Well, that's what I was going to say, like, convert me, because I the Balam Garden music is unforgettable. The world map music is like cold in a beautiful way. The battle music is terrific. The Laguna battle music, Man with a Machine Gun, is
That's top tier.
You know, how do you decide what's the best song in the game? Is it that? Is it Fisherman's Horizon? Like, there's just nonstop incredible music throughout the game. There's the opening theme, you know, with Ficos, Phenosec, Brooklyn Zed.
Do you know where that comes from? Here's a little fact. Do you know what that is? That is an anagram of the game's themes. It's Succession of Witches and Love. And if you scramble those up, you get Vsec, Lusec, Minos, Venosec.
It doesn't mean anything else?
No, it's just a muddled, it's the mixed up letters of the theme of the game.
You know what? That actually works for me because it's like time compression. You know,
time compression.
Yeah, everything's just like mixing and mingling and none of it makes sense. That's good.
Makes sense if you sink enough hours into it.
But then, like, so tell me, like, because the SLR theme sucks, man. So, like, it's not good. It sounds like stupid bubbles are popping everywhere. And it's like, why am I listening to, like, a bubble show? I'm in, like, a cool future city. This is terrible. Why is this what's happening? Everything should be just, like, a little bit more, I don't know, like, hyper awesome than it is right now.
I think that's your main issue with that theme is the little boop, boop,
yeah, boop, I hate those little yeah.
You take those out and I guarantee you'll love it. They go on YouTube and listen to orchestration or piano versions of it. But and it's this lovely, soothing. Yeah, because it's a high-tech, futuristic kind of city. You can't have... They wanted to add, or Uematsu, I'd say, wanted to just, add a little bit of techno pop into it.
If the future is bubbles popping everywhere, then get me out now.
Tiny bubbles?
Yeah.
If that's your only issue with Estar as a city, and the fact that it's a city the size of a continent, then that's fine. But it's so big.
Yeah, SR is hard,
to navigate. It really is.
Rough commute. Rough commute in SR.
Can you imagine?
They got those nifty elevators, but who knows where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
You live in the suburbs of SR. You have a long, long trek to get into the
Do you ever get lost playing Final Fantasy VIII, Aiden, or not anymore?
Not anymore.
Like, if you hopped into SR like right now, you would know how to like totally navigate the Lunatic Pandora stuff.
There's only three kind of real areas that you go to in Estar. It's the shopping arcade, which is you go in and you go right. There's the airship, you go in and you go left. And then there's the presidential palace, where you go in and you go straight.
What about Dr. Odin's laboratory?
That's a different place.
He's there too.
He has a lab in the town as well, in the city,
yes,
no?
Yes, he does.
He's got an outpost.
I think you just get teleported there two of the times you go there. There might be more. It is annoying
if you take a wrong turn. If you take a wrong turn, then you're
running in circles forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have encounter none-on, so it makes no difference.
I don't. I do have a,
well,
I have
I
no
mean,
encounter.
I mean, we do, but not through the ability. Yeah.
Did it hurt you to hear us just cheat our way through FF8?
No, because what you were doing is kind of what I was doing, just not in the game mechanics way. Everything you were doing, there's a way you can do in game. And it's not that hard. You defeat the devil in a magic lamp and get him to refine an ability, and all of a sudden monsters leave you alone. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So here's what I would love, Aiden. I would love for you to tell us the story of Final Fantasy VIII from your perspective. Whether it's something that's like accounting for things that we missed, or literally just like, how do you interpret FF8? What is this story from the perspective of somebody who loves it?
Well, I could go really, really deep here, because
that's what we're here for.
The mythology in FF8 is actually quite grand and cool. And what I really love about it is it's there, but you kind of have to go searching for it. You don't have Bugenhagen on his sphere just explaining everything to you.
I hate it. Yeah.
there's no grand.
Literally because Bugenhagen's not here.
At the very start, one of the biggest gripes people have is the whole junction losing memory GF shenanigans that happens. But when you're told to go to your desk at the very, very start of the game and have a look at some of the stuff, it's mentioned right there that GFs have these side effects. And it's...
So they should have known the whole time? Is that what I'm being told?
No, not the entire time, because, you know, selective amnesia, you can go with it. But here's
That's
a good
so
example.
Frustrating.
If you go to Balam Guard, if you go to Balam Town and go into the next door neighbors of Mad Dinks, you can chat to this random woman who is, like in every Final Fantasy, okay with people just bursting into their house and playing cards or chatting with them.
Or stealing their stuff.
Stealing their stuff. Oh, a chest.
Yeah. Opening their chests,
No one ever seems to mind.
Play a quick game of Triple Triad and you're fine. It's all forgotten about. But she tells you the legend of this character called the Great Hein. who is canonically the god of this world and where the sorcerers get their power. It's backed
up. How do we spell that?
Hyne? H-Y-N-E.
Okay.
The Great Hyne was quote-unquote god, some other being of legends who created all humans and then got tired of fighting monsters, so went to sleep and let the humans look after everything. And then he woke up and saw that there were so many humans around. He said, okay, too many humans. I need to get rid of all of them. Got rid of all the children, which is dark. And obviously people was like, hey.
Very Final Fantasy VIII.
There are kids. Don't do that. And went
either
to war against
turn
the squad.
Children, it's basically adults. So
turn the children into soldiers who are in charge of fighting an entire war.
Or leave them in charge of a bar. That's all right as well.
Or get rid of them completely. That is like the FF8 world's ethos towards kids.
It's quite dark when you think about it. But that's led to a war between the humans and Hyne. And Hyne lost the war and said, here, you have half of my body. And that ended the war. And the half that was given to the humans was the magical ability. And it was given to the sorceresses. And that's where sorceresses came from. But Hyne has disappeared. Hyne is still out there. Apparently he tricked some of my magical ability, but everything else is still mine. It scuttled off and disappeared and went off to sleep. But that's where sorceresses came from.
I wish that they told me that, because that's cool.
They did, twice. Once on the White Sea ship, and once in Balam, in Mad Dink's neighbor's house.
But only if you talk to the right people? But only if you talk to the right people?
Because they're legends. I mean, you don't just randomly bring up legends. They're just part of the world. If they're there and you're interested, you can go see them. Like, did you ever wonder what happened to that other continent, the Cetra continent? That was just...
I did. So, like, the world of Final Fantasy VIII is sort of messy, where, like, there's Balam, there's Galbadia, there's Esthar, and those are kind of, like, the pillars of the game. Also, well, I would love to know a little bit about, like, the culture of Trabia, too, but there is like the whole Cetra continent that seems like it's just like it's literally just like a forgotten ruin.
There's so many places in the game that you like can go to, but absolutely don't have to ever go to. Mm-hmm. It just like are there, and it's also kind of broken up in that, you know, first you're traveling, you know, on foot or by train, or by train when you could definitely just walk there. And then, you know, Balam starts flying. And so you're sort of like ship puttering around that half of the world. And then you cross over to go to Esthar and you don't have Balam anymore. And then you get Ragnarok. But like it's those like sort of three distinct times. Fast travel is amazing. All the kudos in the world to FF8 for giving me fast travel, which I am accustomed to as a modern gamer to the extent that I do games. But yeah, there's all that stuff down there on the Cetra continent that like you never have to go to. It's there's like the ruins where you go get Odin, and Master Tonberry. But it's there only for those side things, which I thought was really strange.
Well, the gardens originally came from Cetra. They were this kind of quasi-Roman-esque civilization that were utterly wiped out by the Lunar Cry.
Did I play this game?
Part of me is wondering, did Aiden like prep like material and is just like totally messing with us?
I'm going to believe anything that you tell me, but I don't know any of these things. And I did play this game for over 40 hours.
Yeah, both of the big kind of nation states, which is Galbadia and Esthar, were offshoots. It was actually Dalish, believe it or not. Dalish was Dalish was a big player for a little while. But once the Cetra, which is very close to Cetra, which you have to think is a... I mean, they're both ancient civilizations, Cetra and Cetra. That has to be a little bit of a nod.
Yes.
And it got wiped out utterly by the Lunar Cry. I think you get told that in the space station. It was like, oh, it's happening again. It's going to wipe out everything like it happened to the Cetra continent. And I can't remember where you find this out, but it is canon that all the kind of leftover gardens, Cid said that this is a leftover military base or some form of bunker. And that's just left over from these ancient civilizations from that continent that was destroyed.
Like hundreds of years, thousands of years before the game?
I think it's a couple of hundred at least, but everything goes a little bit hazy thanks to the Sorcerer's War, which is let's go a little bit further in history, but about 20 years ago when Estar and Galbadia went to war. It was called the Sorcerer's War because Estar was ruled by Sorceress Adel or Adele or however you want to say it at the time. Yeah. And that's why everybody's so cut off. Estar, once Adele, as we learned through Laguna's flashbacks, was taken care of, they just shut down completely. But there's an enormous force field and puts a kind of an electrical static over every bit of communication, which was what was going on in the Dala communications tower to try and get rid of that. Everything does have an explanation, but you kind of got to go looking for it.
Yeah. What about Odin? What's Odin's deal? Was he like the king of Setra?
I don't know if he was the king, but I think he just maybe survived all of it.
Yeah.
Another cool theory about the Setra, and this is just kind of speculated on, is if you go down to the deep research facility, you can get the final GF Eden, which is based off a Setra legend, which is what the Ragnarok ship's design were based off.
Were based off of Eden.
This dragon thing. Yes, they were based off Eden.
Yeah, supposedly. So there is this deep water facility that Zed, I don't think that you really went to. You checked it out for a second, maybe?
I didn't go there at all, because based on the walkthrough, it was like, you can do this card thing, you can do this other card thing, and you can get this GF. And I was like, I don't think I need more GFs when I'm like about to go do the final battle. Also, you're going to get that GF if you do all the bosses in the mansion anyway.
Right.
So,
I skipped the deep sea underwater research thing entirely.
Yeah. Fair enough. So is that's Setra as well, Aiden?
Yeah, I would say it was Setra. Or the ruins in themselves were Setra, because you can kind of see in the architecture, it's kind of ancient Romanesque. You can see it in Adia's orphanage. You have the pillars in Odin's place. There's kind of Romanesque stuff. And if you go very deep into the facility, you kind of get that same kind of vibe. So that's what I always went with.
So like anything that's like technologically advanced comes from hundreds of years earlier, and it's now like spread throughout civilization, and different civilizations are doing different things with that technology. Like that's why Estar is like so super grand. Much of that stuff just like washed up on their shores, or like is there like a history of Estar as to why like Estar specifically is like so hyper futuristic, and the rest of the world is like futuristic ish, but like not nearly to the level of Estar.
Yeah, but the problem is the reason that Estar is so technologically advanced is due to a jerk, which is Dr. Odin.
Right.
Odin was a doctor who invented something called para magic. The junction system basically comes from him. So before.
How old is this guy?
Screw that guy, is what I have to say.
He is a villain. There is no doubt that Odin is a villain. Like he regularly talks about experimenting on little girls, which is just wrong.
Yeah.
But without him, nobody would be able to cast magic other than the sorceresses.
Yeah.
That's why casting magic was such a big deal. And then Odin made this kind of para-junctioning system the same way he'd made the junction machine alone, which is the entire reason that Ultimisen can do her thing. Yeah, if you got rid of that guy, there'd be very few problems.
Feels like they should probably either lock him up or just like throw him into the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the easier solution with all this time compression is rather than like going forward to go back to go further back is to like just go back a little bit and
kill baby Dr. Odin.
Yeah. So he can't make the machine that causes all the time.
But then you wouldn't
kill baby Odin. Would you do it? A classic conundrum.
The justification of making this poor, confused 17-year-old boy the leader in everything, because you got to get that time paradox going.
Do you love Squall?
I don't love Squall, but I like Squall.
Yeah.
Once you put him through the lens of this 17-year-old boy who has this destiny foisted upon him due to time paradox hijinks.
And that is it, right? Like, that is the proper read, is that, like, he's in this position because he's always in this position.
Yeah, there's nothing he can do about it. And the reason he pushes back about it, and the reason you look at Sid doing the stuff he's doing, because Sid would have known about this. Idea would have said, oh, yeah, that one orphan we had. Yeah, I met a future version of him, and he came, and then a sorceress came and gave me her powers. And he said that I put all this in motion, so you have to go talk to a gigantic Shumi tribe person to get a load of money so we can put this future boy's plan into action and ultimately ruin his life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. But I mean, yeah, like, that is resonant with a storyline from one of my favorite shows of all time that I won't name by name right now. Like, that is that part of FF8 I love. Like, I do think that that's really cool when you lens it through the fact that, like, these people didn't really have much of a choice. And I think, like, that is thematically at play throughout the thing. Like, Zed, like, when we were, like, talking about the game at its best over these past few weeks, like, we were talking about that idea of, like, nobody really wants to be doing any of this. Like, right. You know, like, all of, like, the characters are kind of like, it's not like I want to fight. I just, like, kind of have to. Like, sometimes you have to do it. And, like, there is this quality that, like, I don't know. I think that that's, like, sort of that's, like, a rich story vein of, like, you're in the story because you have to be, not because you want to be.
And it's expressed in the dialogue so often. It's like, what are we doing? I have no idea what's going on, but I kind of have to keep going. I'm pretty sure Squall says that at one point after fighting Nord. He just goes, I have no idea what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
he says that a few times.
Gotta keep going.
Yeah. At one point, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know about this time compression nonsense. I just want to be with Rinoa.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes when they're in Adia's orphanage in the mysterious, beautifully flowery field that was randomly ignored beforehand. And they, like, when he says, I'll be your knight, like, at least I'm sure of one thing and I'm sure of you. And it's very sweet. And then Zell always interrupts very funnily.
Explain to us Norg.
Norg, yes, Norg is a Shumi tribe. And Norg was the financier of the gardens. So Sid, after being told by Dia that we have to set up this paramilitary organization to one day destroy me, because that makes sense. So he went around while she was setting up her own seeds, which were the white seeds on that ship. So he went around and met Norg on his travels and said, hi, I want to set up a paramilitary base and I need money. And Norg, for some reason, went, I have money, I'll do this for you. So they set up a business partnership. Norg is Shumi tribe, which are based way up north in the Trabia continent. You can visit their village, which is way, way underground. Yes. And the Shumis are nice. They're cool, cool.
They're the Moombas.
Moombas.
Yes, they are. Well, yeah, they want to be, because Shumi don't, like, age in the same way as everybody else does. Shumi,
they transform.
They, like, evolve.
Yeah, they evolve.
Like
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they really want to evolve into Moombas. So you can evolve into an elder Shumi, I believe, and you meet one or two of them in a Shumi village. You can evolve into a Moomba if you're kind of kind-hearted and really happy. Or, apparently, you can evolve into a weird glowing egg thing. Mm-hmm. Which is what Norg does, which just never fully explains.
Is he alive at the end of this?
Unclear. I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because if you go back down, there's two other Shumi tribe members. It's like, oh yeah, we're really sorry. We'll clean up his mess. You go about doing what it is you're doing, and we're sorry. We never liked him anyway.
It's like an extraction mission.
Pretty much, if you go down there. Like, did you go up to the Shumi village in your playthrough at all, Zed?
I did for a little bit. I think by then, I don't know if there's specific stuff you can do up there. I think by the time I went up there, there was nothing really I could do. I just went to go check it out before I couldn't travel around really anymore. And explored some of the houses and stuff.
It's lore based. You get an awful lot of Laguna lore by going up there, because you went up there, and it's one of the biggest hints of Squall's parentage in the game.
You're anticipating the next question. So just, like, looking at some of the feedback that we got for this podcast, this came to us from Duffer in the Discord. Why do you think the Laguna as Squall's dad stuff wasn't made more explicit? First of all, Aiden, we're on the money there, right? That Laguna is Squall's father.
Yes, that is. It's been confirmed by the game developers and hinted at fairly strongly a couple of times in the game. So, yeah. Rain and Laguna are Squall's parents. And, you know, that's what you call Rain in a lagoon, a squall.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess that makes sense. That was more upfront? Like, is there something missing there to that storyline? Or do you feel satisfied with the amount that we get?
The only thing really missing was Laguna as a parent. So, I mean, he was a woeful father by not being there. But no, he didn't know. I mean, I would have been equally happy with or without it. If you kept it a mystery, fine. If you explained it, fine. It makes sense. There's a running theme that all the parents have their kids' cards, which raises a question about Cypher as well.
Yeah. Who has Cypher's card?
Sid.
Yeah.
And that's another theory that goes around. That one hasn't been convinced, but I've read some fairly convincing arguments that Sid could very much be... Cypher could be Sid's son.
Edea's son as well?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's kind of hinted at, but I like it because, well, there's a reason Cypher never got to see, because he knew Sid would never pass him. That's his baby boy. You got to keep him in the garden.
I love that. I think that tracks. That's so Sid.
Yeah.
Sid would never give Cypher a real chance. Like, that's so classically Sid. He's like,
he'd be a terrible seed, but that doesn't seem to matter very much.
And if you think about it, imagine, because he's a year older than all of them as well. So imagine you're a young kid and all of a sudden your parents start an orphanage and a bunch of other little kids start, you know, competing for your parents' affection. Adia and Sid would have loved all the kids, so he lashes out. He starts bullying some of the more passionate of the kids, and that's where the animosity with Zell comes around.
Yeah.
And also, how frustrating must it have been for Cypher to look and try so hard, because that's what I loved about him. He wanted to do good. He really wanted to be a good guy. But all of everybody's attention and love and affection and kind of belief goes to this kid who seems like he wants nothing got to do with any of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of like the two of them as mirrors. And they are utter mirrors of each other. Their cards have completely mirrored values. Their battle stances are completely mirrored. They use the same kind of gunblade. Their scars
are opposite. Yep.
Yeah, one wears a black cloak, one wears a white cloak. They are utter mirrors of each other. And I really, really like that.
I think
Cypher is a great, great character.
Do you like his ending, that he just kind of gets to get away with it? They just sort of let him go.
Yeah, they do kind of let him go, but they let Dr. Odine go as well, and they kind of celebrate him.
That doesn't make two wrongs don't make right.
No. Yeah, and it seems to me Balam there in at the end, and Fusion and Rajan,
they're just their
wishy-washy thing. We're friends, but I don't want to support you.
We're
but I'm still
a posse,
fight
but we
you.
Can't
we're
do a- this.
Yeah, I can't believe
stuff,
you
that
slept
stuff is
on-
sad. That stuff is you- sad, and I get it. It's like, man, like, I want you to change. I'm going to try and get you to change. I don't think I can get you to change, but I'm going to try and get you to change. I don't think it's going to work. Your friend sucks, you know? Like, I think that battle feels very real.
But you slept on the end. The last time you fight him, Fusion of all peoples gives this lovely little speech.
I know.
This character who's spoken one word, rage, anger, flee, all of
rage,
a sudden.
Fudge.
She drops it and goes, no, we're friends.
Mad.
Which is, sleepy. I think that's very sweet. And the one thing I noticed in the last cinematic, you really only see the two kind of main characters, Squall and Cypher, or Cypher, I say it both ways. They smile in the last cinematic, and it's really nice. I remember watching the last one and seeing both of those characters smile was almost jarring to me. It was like, they're happy. I haven't seen that expression before, and it was kind of nice.
You don't really see a lot of the... I was going to say you don't see the main characters in Final Fantasy smile too often. How quickly I forget Titus is, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, God.
Or Zidane,
I was going to say. Very... very smiley guy, but I cannot envision Cloud smiling.
No.
That's hard for me to picture.
He's not a smiley guy.
He's not a smiler. Not really.
He's had a rough life.
He has. So has Squall. So Squall at least gets a smile. Like, I do think the thrust of FF8 being sort of like the taming of the Squall, and like sort of like, you know, like getting him to like crack a smile is sort of like the end goal. That is kind of nice. I do like that. So is it true that there was a whole chunk of Laguna stuff that just didn't end up in the game? Do you know anything about that?
I've heard that as well, that it was supposed to be almost two games running side by side, but for time constraints. And I think it's because they put so many FMVs into the discs. Yeah. Like they knew that people loved FMVs from Final Fantasy VII, so they just loaded it in Final Fantasy VIII. So it's very pretty, but that takes up a huge amount of space. So I would imagine that an awful lot of the Laguna storyline got sidetracked to fish in a bunch more FMVs.
Mike Edwards, the great Mike Edwards, had a bit of feedback that I thought was interesting just on its own, and then provocative because Aiden, I believe you had an interesting follow-up to this in the Discord. Mike said, if you could pick a Final Fantasy VIII character and swap them into Final Fantasy VII, who would it be and why? First of all, Zed, does someone come to mind for you, like someone from FF8 who feels more at home in FF7? Wow. Like, is there just like a character from this world that feels like, whether it's like someone in like Norg, to me almost feels more like an FF7 character. Like Norg feels like sort of like Shinra adjacent.
Yes. Like I do agree with that.
Where Dr. Odin is kind of like Hojo-ish.
Yeah, you can mm-hmm. see that. Just in Shinra headquarters on like floor 62, you just have Norg sitting there. Is that what you're imagining?
Yeah. That comes to mind for me. Anyone that stands out for you, Zed?
Not off the top of my head. Like, you know, Selphie is just like so chipper. I mean, she doesn't really fit in FF8 either, to be honest. Quistis is like so strange.
Yeah.
And serious. Yeah, I don't know. I think Norg is a great option, or Dr. Odin also. Yeah, Dr. Odin has like big Hojo
big
energy.
Big Shinra energy.
Yeah.
Aiden, you mentioned something provocative in response to this question.
Yes, I did, because there is a main character and a character you play as for little bits who was originally designed for Final Fantasy VII, but they couldn't quite fit her into the aesthetic for some reason. So they put her on a shelf and made her a big antagonist in Final Fantasy VIII. Idea. Idea was originally designed to be in Final Fantasy VII.
Do we know anything like story-wise about that?
I've heard that she was going to be a witch who had something got to do with Genova.
Yeah.
In some way, like, that's what I've heard, but I don't know how canon that actually is.
That would track. I'm trying to think, like, I feel like I can imagine Idea being sort of like in like the Lucretia spot, although I believe
see that, yeah.
Lucrezia, depending on your voice acting preferences. I think like some like Sephiroth connection there tracks for me. But like, can you imagine her not being in Final Fantasy VIII? It's a totally different game.
No,
they must have just loved the design so much. They're like, oh, let's just build a game around that.
I mean, she's really cool.
Super cool.
You've mentioned it multiple times. Like, the design on the fashion on the sorceresses is just top notch.
It's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you
she wears a curtain rod with half of a captain's wheel when she's fighting.
I've read somewhere online that said maybe she's making up for the fact that she doesn't have her wings when she's invading somebody's mind, because Ultimisia's got a fine big set of wings on her.
Oh, yeah, she's so cool.
Yeah.
Ultimisia is awesome. Do you know, like, it's only in Final Fantasy VIII that she has that weird hard K sound that she does. I think she shows up in other games. And
she's in, like, the Dissidia games, right?
Yeah, where, and she talks normally in that.
Yeah. Do you know what Dissidia is, Zed?
No, I've never heard that word in my life.
It's like a... I believe this is right. I haven't played it. I think it's like fighting, like it's a Final Fantasy fighting game, basically, where like the premise is like multiple universes of Final Fantasy are being like collapsed into one. And so heroes from those games are being drawn together to like stop this from happening. So
like
you have
time compression,
basically. So you have, like you have Cloud and Squall and other characters from other games that are like meeting each other and fighting with each other and against each other because it's a fighting game. I don't know. I haven't played it. I don't know if I is it available like to play? Like, I don't know what system it's for.
I think it was on the PSP for a little while. Yeah. I think that's what I remember, Benny. But it raises the great question of how these characters would interact. Like, I can't imagine Squall in any way enjoying talking to a great amount of the many other characters.
I think Cloud and Squall would enjoy each other's company because they just wouldn't expect much from each other other than fighting well.
They'd sit in brooding silence for hours.
Yeah, Squall doesn't really enjoy talking to anybody, so...
they would probably personal. They would probably actually be best friends.
I think Squall and Cloud
would get along really, really well because they would both be able to just like sit and read a book and not feel like they have to talk to each other.
Comfortable
ever.
Silence.
Yes.
Can you imagine either of them having a conversation with Titus or Zidane? They just go away.
Oh man, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can with Squall because he Zidane is sort of like if Zell was the main character of Final Fantasy.
Zell is the main character in Final Fantasy.
I suppose that's true. And I guess Titus
Zell and Titus would get along really well.
Yes.
From little that I've played of FF10.
Zell would fit in really well in Final Fantasy X. This is a fun game of like, where does everybody fit? Like, where
Zell and Walker, the two of them would get on like a house on fire.
They would be great together. I can imagine Irvine going to like Final Fantasy VI and just sort of like disappearing in that cast because
you can see enormous cast of
there's like 18 playable characters or something like that in Final Fantasy VI.
If we're being honest, Irvine kind of disappears into the cast of characters in Final Fantasy VIII and there's only six of them.
Do you have characters that you don't like in this of the playables?
Yeah, Irvine's a jerk. We all know that. Yeah.
Terrible.
But there are, on the second playthrough, when you look out for little moments, I mean, him choking up at the sniper shot makes an awful lot more sense when you realize that he knows exactly who Adia is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the very start, I think after you get him in Galbadia Garden, he's on the train and he's out of nowhere, just says, maybe it's fate. And it makes no sense at the time, but then the reveal that he was the only one who remembered their shared childhood kind of makes sense. So it must be really freaky for him to go around, hi, do you not remember me? We all grew up together. How have you forgotten?
Yeah, that's a good perspective on the character. I don't think it like completely like rehabilitates him, but I think it definitely helps clarify some of the stuff that's going on with him. I think that's when I frame it through that, like that's probably the most that I am able to enjoy his journey. But like, what about like Selphie or Quistis? Do you have any like strong feelings about either of those characters?
Well, in my most recent playthrough, I just expelled Quistis from my party. He was like, no, you abandoned your posts. I can't trust you to do anything. There's no reason you're no longer an instructor. You were given one job to do and you went away to apologize.
They used to love her as a kid. That annoyed me. I loved Quistis when I was a kid. And then like on this playthrough, it's like, yeah, you got fired for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of complicated stuff going on. She makes not the best decisions.
She needs to have a conversation with what's the name of the doctor at Balham Garden, who's in like the med bay, like
Katawaki, Dr. Katawaki.
She needs to hang out with Katawaki for a few days, I think. There's a lot going on.
Katawaki's a mean card player. She's a mean, mean card player. Yeah. You don't want to mess with Katawaki.
So is Quistis, right? Like she's the head of the Aces or whatever.
Which is, when I first
played
the card club, that took me so, so long. Because they don't expressly tell you who it is. You can learn through Katawaki that they're female. But in order for Quistis to come and challenge you, you have to have beaten everybody else and then go and sleep in your dorm room, which you haven't been doing since Disc 1, really. In fact, I lost on my first playthrough. I lost at the garden. So I dropped it off somewhere. I went to S-Star, started this tree. All of a sudden, I'm in space. I have the Ragnarok. I'm flying around. And I go, where's the garden? Where on earth did I leave the garden? And I went everywhere. And I forgot that it was just parked outside of Fisherman's Horizon. I lost it.
That's amazing.
Can you
it must be because...
Can you land the Ragnarok in Fisherman's Horizon and then go and retrieve Balham Garden that way?
You can indeed. In the same way, you know where
Martin
is?
That's a terrible setup now. Now, like, you have to go to one or the other to, like, move.
You're, like, stuck at that port. Yeah.
I suppose you could take the train to Fisherman's Horizon, right? Or no?
No, that train's gone.
That bridge
was put out of commission during the Sorceress's War 20
that's
years ago.
Mess.
It's called the Horizon Bridge, by the way.
I suppose that makes sense because of Fisherman's Horizon. Don't you hate that it's in the middle of the world map, Aiden? Isn't that so inconvenient?
Well, if you're looking for a halfway stop between Galbadia and Estar, I think it kind of makes sense to put it in the middle of the ocean. And it's not oil tankers. They're clearly solar panels.
You never get trapped on one side of the train tracks?
Yeah, that is annoying. But the thing
isn't
is,
the
I always
isn't
know
the
where
game
I'm going.
Unnecessarily difficult.
Absolutely not. It is not a difficult game, I don't think. Once you sink the hours into it, and all you have to do is play it for a couple of thousand hours, and it's quite simple, actually.
Yeah, I played with the cheats on it. I still found it a difficult game.
Isn't the game, like, unnecessarily complicated?
Yeah, and I like it because of it.
Yeah.
I like
I appreciate
the metagaming aspect of it. I really love systems that make you customize your character. Admittedly, you're losing a bit of individuality because pretty much every character can do everything.
Right, yeah.
If you junction it correctly. But I'll take that over, this character has a sword, and then you fight a bunch of things, and they get better with sword.
Yeah.
The junction system, I think, is up there with about as customizable of any Final Fantasy system that you can get, which I like. And admittedly, it takes a while to get the hang of it. But once you do get the hang of it, oh, you can do some fun stuff.
Yeah, I liked, you know, feeling like I gained some mastery over understanding materia eventually in FF7. And it took a long time because they don't hold your hand with that at all and figuring out how to pair stuff correctly. I guess you just experiment with, or you read a walkthrough. But like, I got there and I could be like, these are the things that make sense together. And this is what happens if I put it in my weapon or in my armor. And because everybody's using different kinds of weapons and armor, you get different combinations of slots that are connected or not, which feels different compared to, you know, whatever you junction to a character could be junctioned to any character. And then they will have those things. I think the issue for me is that it's like you get such a wall of information right away, and you either kind of like figure it out all at once or you don't. And because I very early on was like, yeah, I don't know. You say I can click auto and you'll do it for me. Great, I'm doing that.
Oh, you weren't hitting R1 with every squall attack?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. This is from the great Condor 24.
Condor,
who writes in, Fort Condor writes in, would you want to see a modern remake of Final Fantasy VIII? Why or why not? I think this is a great question as we're starting to look towards moving on to FF7 remake. Is there a world in which FF8 gets remade, gets improved upon? Is this only disastrous if we go back to FF8? I guess I would be most curious to know that from like the perspective of like Aiden. I don't know if you consider yourself like an FF8 purist, but like should that not be revisited? Should it not be touched upon again?
I love this game. It is truly one of the games in my childhood. I know everything about it, but I would firmly say no. Don't remaster it. It doesn't need it. I don't think the audience is there for it, that it would get the remaster treatment. I mean, you can do anything with Final Fantasy VII because the name recognition is so huge. People love the game. People have history with it. They don't really have the history with Final Fantasy VIII. Like, I'm overjoyed they kind of got the remastered version, so you weren't dealing with those horrendous blocky pixels.
But that's
the most attractive guy here.
I've seen that meme, yeah, and it's killed so me.
Yeah.
I think that's all it needs.
It took a while to even get that. They had like the FF7 remaster, the FF9 remaster, and something was missing in the middle of those two. And then like they busted out the FF8 remaster not like terribly long ago.
No, which was good. It kind of re-sparked debate about Final Fantasy VIII, and which is great because I'll take any opportunity to defend my game. I can. Yeah.
Zed, I think this is almost like more like a question to like ask you on the other side of FF7 remake, because like you don't know what that experience is like yet to like replay a game in like a totally different context, because I think that this segues nicely into a question from Jared that is really for you, Zed. Does Zed know anything about or have any expectations going into FF7 Remake? I assume at least they know that it's only Midgar. You are aware that it is a game that is located specifically in Midgar. It's adapting the first 5 hours of the however many hours long Odyssey that is
five
Final
hours,
Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Five hours. It took me eight plus hours on the first run through, and I think 2 hours on the second.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that it's just the Midgar chapter. I know, what else do I know? I know you told me they make like a meal out of that whole first reactor. I mean, obviously, if you're going to take the first few hours of a game and make it into its own full-size game, you're going to get to like luxuriate in a lot of the things a lot more. I'm looking forward to the dress cloud up to go to Don Corneo's mansion part, because as much as I hate Don Corneo, the stuff you do to get into his mansion is some of my favorite stuff in the game. And I know you said they did a really good job like modernizing that and the conversation around gender that happens. So that I'm really looking forward to. But other than that, I don't, is Zach in it? We keep talking about Zach.
Yeah, I think that you can expect that there are going to be things from elsewhere in the game
that show up sooner than you'd expect.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair expectation. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I don't. I need to be careful about how much I say, and I think like that itself ought to be something of a tell.
Interesting.
That like you have played Final Fantasy VII twice now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have played it thoroughly. You have played it to a degree of thoroughness that even I have not played. I have not beaten Emerald and Ruby Weapon. My life is fine. You know, I don't need to do that. You did, and that's great.
I needed to,
and that's fantastic. And yet, what I would say is, do not look things up about FF7 Remake.
I haven't.
People be cool. Do not hit Zed up. If you've played Remake, let them find out about the game themselves.
I'm so excited.
Because there's a lot going on there in terms of like, there's fun Easter eggs. There's a lot of provocative material. There's a lot of provocative materia. Yes. there's a lot of great stuff. And there's just a lot of simple joy in like some of the ways in which the game chooses to embellish upon the original. There's like a lot of very clear love and reverence for the first game that was became a cultural phenomenon. With that being said, it is also this kind of game where it's like it is not overly precious about the past. And as a result, there will be new stuff. There's going to be things that like you have no idea anything about. Things that will at least at first glance probably be like, I think maybe I hate that. there's the possibility of some of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or at the very least, there's going to be like, what is that? And I think that that's going to be really fun, to track. You're in this cool spot, Zed, of being like somebody who like you found out the very big Final Fantasy VII thing really late in the run of this thing being in existence, completely unspoiled, found it out authentically. Aiden, wasn't that crazy?
That blew my mind that you achieved that. I mean, this is one of the biggest video game events ever. Like that what happened there is, I mean, it's up there with Luke, I Am Your Father.
Yeah, in video game lore, for sure. Yeah. 100%. I think like...
Sorry, no, I Am Your Father. Everybody misquotes that one.
I know. I think that's Tommy Boy's fault.
I do have a question for you, Josh, about the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Does Rufus Shinra's outfit still hold up in definition?
No.
You wouldn't wear that for your brand new
No, no, I wouldn't. As rendered in the artwork for the original Final Fantasy VII, absolutely. As rendered in like every subsequent version of the game, it's just like belts and pieces that are just like loosely. It would not be something that I would comfortably wear.
Well, we haven't gone full Final Fantasy belt yet until you get the Lulu in Final Fantasy X.
Oh my god, yeah.
Just wears belts.
Nonstop belts.
Big part of my aesthetic and all of my role playing characters at this point.
So many belts, like a 1990s X-Men character, just like nonstop belts. Just like pouches and belts everywhere.
Yeah, man.
It's wild.
It looks great.
Yeah. I think remake is going to be incredibly fun. I think that there is a degree to which it will be a little bit tricky to podcast about in terms of like figuring out the pacing on it. Mm-hmm. So I think we may need to like fly a little bit seat of our pants. This is what I'm expecting for the next time we meet in the Final Fantasy podcast studio. Finish the first two chapters of the game. The game is literally divided into chapters. Like it lets you mm-hmm. know when you're in a chapter. So that's very helpful. You want to play chapter one. You want to play chapter two. I think that we could get through those first two chapters and have a lot to talk about. Both from like a gameplay perspective, how certain like adaptation choices are holding up. If the game is expanding upon Midgar, you might be able to surmise that like Avalanche, like those characters are maybe a little fuller. So it'll be fun to like get to like sort of like really talk about like Biggs and Jesse and Wedge. That's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some weird shit that we could talk about if we're talking about the first two chapters of the game. So I think for anyone who wants to play along, you do have to have a PlayStation. It's not available on PC. It will be someday, Aiden. You'll get to play it.
I know, and it'll be one. I didn't care for spoilers. I went big in when it first came out, and I listened to a bunch of podcasts about it. So yeah, I'm au fait. I know most of what happens.
Yeah,
which is hey, it's wonderful. It's yeah. so good.
It's a lot. It's a lot going on, and there's a lot of really cool. Just like there's a lot of really fun like Final Fantasy VII specific things to like nerd out about and speculate upon. Yeah. And then there's also just like I think like a lot about like modern popular storytelling to dig into, and the way that this game like interacts with expectations that I think is supremely fun.
They
knew exactly what they were making, and whether or not people love what they're making is a different question, but they knew exactly what they were making is my feeling as well. And I love it, but like I get that it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm so curious to find out, Zed, if it's yours. I suspect that it is. I think that you're gonna love it.
I think
Zed, can I ask, have you seen Advent Children, the movie they did?
Yes, I have. We talked about it briefly when we did our 7 into 8 crossover podcast. But after I finished the game spontaneously one Friday afternoon in the Discord, I watched it with a couple of folks. And I think we'll probably talk about it on a podcast again more thoroughly because it's a wild ride. I had a great time.
It's confusing.
Yeah,
Advent Children throws a lot of
long movie with not a ton of plot. It's like very poorly plotted, but also very emotionally engaging. The music is really, really good. The graphics are beautiful. I'd be happy to spend more time talking about Advent Children in the future.
If you're going all the way down the FF7 rabbit hole, you got to get down to Dirge of Cerberus.
Oh my God. So Dirge of Cerberus, the Vincent Valentine shoot 'em up game. That I have not played, but I watched a playthrough on, and I don't know, man.
Thinks I might like it.
You get to play as Kara.
Our good buddy, our Philly, thinks that I might like it.
I think he's wrong, personally, but like I would love for you to try. I would love,
and I think he has it, so he might give it to me.
Then that's great. Then you should do it, and we should experiment with that, and we should play it out, and you can report back.
Oh, yeah, you can knock it off quickly in a couple of hours. It's fine.
Yeah, it looks kind of hard.
You're not a first person shooter player.
Well, it's not a first person shooter. I think it's a third person shooter. I'm pretty sure. There is some first person shooting elements to it, I think. Uh-huh. Like you can switch modes to a certain extent, but it's not like Doom or Quake or Halo. Although I don't think Halo is entirely a first person shooter either. I don't love this style of game. Frankly, it makes me nauseous. I get motion sick watching it and playing it for too long, so I don't love it. Look, if we end up going there, what I'll say is like, this is going to be the moment to go really deep down the FF7 rabbit hole.
Great.
like this is going to open up a lot, because then, like, you know, part two is eventually going to happen, but we don't know when. So, like, mm-hmm. this is really our we're gonna park it on FF7 again for a while before you start like dipping into all of the other games that are out there, because I think like this deserves to be played ruthlessly by you. So it's gonna be
super strap fun. Ourselves to a missile and, you know, shoot it right into the heart of all of the FF7 games as we escape our rocket that has been launched at a meteorite.
Condor had also asked to close this out. Feel free to discuss how you crazy people will balance remake, 14 posher recaps, and your other real world responsibilities.
This is something that he and I were actually talking about a little bit at like 2:30 in the morning last night.
Yeah.
As I am currently running a play by post D&D game in the Discord that Josh is in.
Yes.
And we started combat right around midnight Eastern time last night and got through a round and finished around 2. And now we're doing this. We're playing Final Fantasy 14. I'm going to be playing FF7. We're still playing D&D. I'm still watching Pose and podcasting about that. It is a lot. It's a lot of things. It's all really fun things, but I do say, like, I got to go do my homework, which is playing a video game or watching a TV show. Look, like, that's Josh, your life.
Listen.
Does it ever mix up? You're like, you just have a bunch of Pose trivia ready to go in the middle of a Final Fantasy
game. I have all these notes on my, like, I use my notes app to keep track of all the various stories that I'm supposed to be talking about. Yeah.
Let me submit Electra Abundance for Final Fantasy VII. That would be very fun to see.
Put her anywhere. She'd be great anywhere. Yeah, she'd be a wonderful sorceress.
Oh,
she's
my
got the style.
God.
She's got
yeah.
the fashion.
There's the link. There's the link.
She got the power.
Time compression. Yeah. Like I feel
category is time compression.
Yeah. I think that'd be really great.
Sorcery realness.
How are we going to balance all that stuff? Hey, how about you come find out? To sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps, because in addition to all of that, we're also making friends. Like, we're having a good time. We're building a community. Everybody's getting along. It's been super, super great. Aiden, you can, a testimonial from patron Aiden.
I can very much attest to that. I love the way you say we're building a community. There's an enormous community already there that's
it's
just
built.
Getting bigger.
It's built and expanding.
It's built and there's subsections and you can
I think that's
you.
It.
It's amazing. You
it's
can hang
built.
Out, play D&D, go talk about the Marvel Universe, talk about Pose. You want the Mighty Ducks? We got the Mighty Ducks. It's all in there.
And if we don't have it, let us know and we'll build it. Like, we are expanding. You know,
I frequently describe the Discord as like the room of requirement from Harry Potter. Like, if we need a thing that we don't have yet, we need a channel or we need some specific kind of outlet to do a certain kind of activity, we can make it happen.
There
and it
shall
happens
be.
Quickly and it, you know, morphs and evolves as needed. Stuff gets tossed out that we don't need anymore. New things come in its place. You know, we've grown from, you know, 50 people or so when we started to closing in on 300 folks in the Discord.
Yeah.
And it continues to be a remarkably intimate place, given how large it is. Like, you'll find your community of folks that like the things that you like, that want to talk about what you want to talk about. Even if that's just like your pets and your snacks and what you're up to in your day-to-day life. It doesn't have to be centered around D&D or a specific TV show or a game. Everybody's just out there like being friends, hanging out, and it's really nice.
With that being said, though, like, if you're listening to a Final Fantasy podcast almost 90 minutes in, like, and you're like really into like super nerdy Final Fantasy types of shit, and we've got that in space. Yeah. Like, so, like, definitely, like, if you like snacks and Final Fantasy, whoa, sweet spot. You're really
there. Do you want to be playing D&D and Final Fantasy with me and Josh at the same time?
You can
like,
do this.
Like, playing both things with both of us at the same time. It's happening.
This is doable. And
karaoke in your ears at the same time.
Yeah. Like, it's a lot of things can happen for you, should you choose to sign up. So that's the big push. And we're doing the very big push right now because it is the start of the month and it's like the perfect time to do it. You get charged as soon as you sign up. So get the most, mileage for signing up now at the start of the month. You can get to spend all of June, getting acquainted with, this really, really fun community that I think that you will enjoy. So consider signing up patreon.com/postshowrecaps. patreon.com/postshowrecaps is the way to do that.
Do either of you have any parting words, Aiden, anything on FF8 or just Final Fantasy generally?
I would say to the people who were maybe thinking about playing Final Fantasy VIII, just do it. Give it a go. If it's not for you, I mean, I'm not going to love it any less, but I'll understand. I'll understand. But yeah. Give it a go.
It's still on sale on Switch for like $8.
It's great. It's really, really good. I think it looks good. The music's amazing. The characters are fun. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. That's fine. But yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Zed, any final parting words before we return to Midgar next week?
I think just like I definitely wouldn't have finished this game if it were not for the podcast, but it's so fun to do this, you know, with you and for a community of people and to have that like collective experience around a game. And I think that's probably a lot more rare now than if I had played it, you know, when I was 10 years old with my 10-year-old friends who were all also only playing this game. So it's still like great that we got to do it, and I look forward to doing more, and I know I'll love some more and some less. But it's just, I'm grateful that I get to do it, and I'm very, very, very excited to jump into Remake next week. I haven't, you know, I finished FF8 two or more weeks ago, but I have not started Remake because I know once I get started, I'm just gonna, you know, run through the game and have a great time. So,
Let's close this out. Aiden, what kind of outro music do you want to hear? Which track from FF8? You can choose. Don't do it.
I would say Silence and Motion, but I know you despise do that particular song. Go on. It has to be Man with the Machine Gun. Isn't
all right.
It?
Yeah. All right.
Best track in the game.
Yeah. Here we go. Bopping out with Man with the Machine Gun, getting us hyped, getting us energized as we're about to move back to Midgar. FF7 Remake coming your way next week, everybody. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.